Hello and welcome everybody to one of the last shows of the year. I know I was saying that a year ago. I was just really excited for 2020 to be done, but now the final week is finally here. The final day of each day is here. This being the final Wednesday show, which means it's the final show with JR ever. JR Jackson, how's it going?
I think we needed a new twist for the last Wednesday of the year. I mean, I made it through the whole year, but now I'm sick. That's lovely.
You're sick?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you got? It's just a random little sniffle. Not even much. But that's the thing, because I generally don't get sick because I hate being sick so much. But, you know, you get everyone's spot. The whole house was sick. Wife and kid were sick. So it got me a little bit. It's got my energy a little low. That's the only thing it's done to me right now.
Okay. Well, you know, be careful. It's rough out there. And L.A. is basically the worst place in the country right now for that. So be careful. By the way, I was just joking about it being the final JR show. He's not going anywhere. but I'm glad that everyone was so concerned. It's not the last show, everybody. I can't be sarcastic. It's too subtle. I've watched too much British comedy in my day.
Well, anyway, John, you start by saying it's the last JR show. Then I start by saying I'm sick. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, God, they're going to draw all the wrong conclusions. But anyway, thank you to everybody who's watching already, whether on YouTube or Twitch or the Members app or anything like that. Please hit the like button if you haven't already so that people know we're live. We're going to be responding to your comments, questions, concerns, and all of that. And also acknowledging just what's going on out there. Alex Cross, welcome to Tier 1 YouTube membership. Enjoy the emojis, and more are coming. We've already got a JR one, so you can put JR's face in the chat if you want. One thing I did want to get to before we launch and everything. Two things, actually. One is that Brett Ehrlich is going to be joining me tomorrow on the show. We are going to have Garbage People of the Week, so go do your voting on the community tab of the YouTube channel today. The other is, JR, you probably don't remember, but last year we did the Garbage Person of 2019, and I believe you joined me for that.
So last year.
So we did for our tier 2 and tier 3 YouTube members. We already did the top 10 garbage people of 2020 this year. But I just wanted to check in for you. Who really demonstrated ultimately how to be a garbage person this year for you? I think I know what you're going to say, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, because similarly with Turks and Jerks, it's Mitch McConnell for me.
It's always going to be Mitch McConnell for you.
It's always going to be. He single-handedly has the most power in this country. With a disregard for anyone else's existence.
That's true. And I know we mostly, when we did, Turks and Jerks, we talked about that. And we were all, obviously mad at Mitch. But I feel like since then, he's been great. I feel like if he had been in a coma between January 1st and Turks and Jerks and came out of it and had just been awake to do the stuff he's done the last 2 weeks, I think he'd still be the jerk of the year in the garbage person.
He'd wake up, he goes, "What I missed? Did I have time to destroy anything? Who have I allowed to kill yet? Oh my God, I've been sleeping. This is a disaster."
Exactly. Okay, now with that said, there is a lot of news that we're going to get to. We're going to be talking about Georgia and COVID and, oh my God, we've got some Jim Jordan for you. We have, a congressman-elect who's passed away. We've got a lot that we're going to be talking about. But let us know what you think as we go along. Oh, Alicia, welcome to Tier 2 membership. Thank you for watching. Enjoy the top 10 list. They're available right now. We're going to put them in a handy-dandy playlist for you to make it a little bit easier to follow. But with that said, why don't we jump into the big news? Donald Trump has a couple of different, sometimes mutually exclusive conspiracy theories that he believes will result in him still being president. But one that he has been very consistent with, that he's returned to from the immediate aftermath of the election up until just today, is that he wants signature match. He wants to go through all of the votes cast. Generally, he targets this on Georgia because there the vote was so close. Just something like 12,000 votes gave Biden the win. And make sure that all the signatures match very carefully. And he is sure that that is going to overturn the results. Way back in the middle of November, he was tweeting, "Thousands of uncounted votes discovered in Georgia County. When the much more important signature match takes place, the state will flip Republican and very quickly get it done." He's saying the "get it done" to Brian Kemp, because at that point he considered Kemp some sort of ally of his. That's going to change, as you'll see. December 3rd, the beginning of this month, he says, and look how fast this changes. In this tweet, he says, "The Republican," in air quotes, "governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, a man he endorsed for the role, And the Secretary of State must immediately allow a signature verification match for the presidential election. If that happens, we quickly and easily win the state and, importantly, pave the way for a big David and Kelly win. And then just yesterday, he says, when are we going to allow signature verification in Fulton County? The process is going very slowly, Brian Kemp. Pennsylvania just found 205,000 votes more than they had voters, which is not true. Therefore, we win Pennsylvania, which I checked. He didn't win Pennsylvania. So, but anyway, that's a thing that he's wanted, JR. And so we don't have full signature match across all of Georgia, but we do have a big trial run that's already happened. So why don't we check in and see, you know, how much it's overturned things. Like, should we be getting ready for the Trump inauguration? On Tuesday evening, this is just yesterday, Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Greg Bluestein reported that Cobb County, a suburban collar county northwest of Atlanta, had finished an audit of 10% of the more than 150,000 absentee ballots cast in the 2020 general election. So, two important facts from that. One, this is 10% of all of what he thinks could overturn it, and it's in particular in Cobb County, which, based on how much voter suppression they did in Cobb County, they definitely think this is one of the areas where Democrats are going to steal the whole thing. Well, as a result of the nearly two-week-long audit, Cobb County found only two votes out of more than 15,000 that should have been flagged for cure notification. One of the pair was mistakenly signed by a voter's spouse on the envelope, but the correct voter signed the ballot inside, and the other had not been signed on the envelope, but the actual ballot was likewise properly signed. So out of 15,000 ballots, they found two that any reasonable person would say, oh yeah, no, that was a simple mistake, and the actual voter signed the ballot, and they're an actual voter, so it's totally cool. But even if we gave them those two, that's 10% of the total result. In the end, if this pattern holds, it could maybe flip. If you're being a real, it could flip 20 votes across the state. I don't think that's going to do it.
I was just going to say, John, we got to make sure we get the rest of these, the other 90%. Again, you decided to just roll through that caveat that it was only 10% of the 150,000 absentee ballots. Mm-hmm. What's really going on with this pitching and this presentation, John? No, they know this. They know that's the way it was going to come out. It's a continuous. Honestly, we have all these theories as to why they continue to push these ridiculous points and conspiracy theories and vote counts and this happened and that happened. When it's, was it December 30th or 31st? Is it the last day yet? No, it's December 30th. We're still sitting here talking about signature verification in Georgia and we win and, you know, we just won Pennsylvania. Is it for the money? Is it for the grifting, for the donations, for the campaign? Is it for the run in 24? Is it for Trump Network? We don't know anymore. None of it makes any sense. It's just he has nothing else to do. He's like, well, just lost another round of golf. Guess I'll go on Twitter and go tell some lies.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out the end game here. I really can't figure it out anymore.
I mean, the thing is, I think we have the same, like, we both want to find out because we care about knowing what's going on in the universe. At the end of the day, does it matter? I don't know. Maybe it matters. Maybe. But the frustrating thing is that the incentives are set up all wrong, whether it's to run later or for a media company or because he actually thinks he can overturn it or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter to him in the end. It doesn't matter how wrong he is in the end. He'll still have the money. And we know what his base is like. They're not going to turn on him when it turns out that's like if signature verification overturns 20 votes in the end, they just won't talk about it anymore. Or if they do, they'll claim that that was rigged just like the election. Like they can make these very specific repetitive claims. And if they're wrong, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're a politician making that claim. If it's, you know, Mark Levin saying every day that signature verification is going to overturn this thing, his viewers at the end aren't going to be like, oh, my God, I was really deceived for multiple months by this guy I trusted. I'm not going to watch him anymore. That's not going to happen. The incentives are set up all wrong where they don't have to be honest. It doesn't even matter what the purpose of their dishonesty is. And when it's proven that they're wrong, they'll just move on. The whole system from top to bottom is set up in a way to produce grift and to reward it.
You have to, he built his his group of supporters in a way that they really don't have to care about anything. Facts don't have to matter. It's just about opinions, whatever he tells them to do. Because you mentioned some of the people who maybe came forward that normally supported him and went with the his lies for the last 4 years. You know, the Laura Ingrams, Tucker Carlson's, all of them had their moments when they said, yeah, you know what? You got to say he lost. Oh, how could you, Tucker? Never will watch you again. Laura, I thought you... When Laura Ingram said it, she had a preemptive attack on the attacks and said, now you guys know I've been a conservative for all this time. I've been mm-hmm. fighting hard. This doesn't mean that I'm some kook. I'm just letting you know, because she knew what was coming, because that's the way they weaponized them for this many years. Yeah, she's been a conservative firebrand for years, because these people that are now going to come after her are the people that she sent into the battlefield to go after folks based off of nothing. Yeah. So when, you know, now that Frankenstein has come back and is starting to beat them, they're like, oh, who knew this monster existed? I can't believe it. But again, I don't know if they didn't expect that, but Trump is just a whole different kind of Dr. Frankenstein that they didn't exactly expect.
Yeah. And, you know, some of them run afoul of this beast that they've unleashed. They train people to not trust anything that doesn't make them feel good. Like, whether a fact is true or not is entirely based on how warm it makes you feel inside. Some of them will run afoul of that, and they'll be cast aside to be replaced by somebody who is more purely insane. That's the sort of the tale of the media. And some of them will really callously and cynically just pick up that base for their own purposes. Like we're seeing, I talked about it in the TDR pre-show, but you've got Josh Hawley, who says that he's going to participate in that, trying to overturn the results. His statement makes clear that he either doesn't believe any of what Trump is saying, or he at least wants plausible deniability that he doesn't believe it, but he is going to cynically kind of pretend to believe it so that Trump will say nice things about him and Trump's base will have good feelings about him going forward. So then in a couple of years, when he launches his run, they'll be like, yeah, he stood by us.
That's right.
So I know you didn't get a chance to comment on that. What do you think about this breaking news?
The Josh Hawley part of this? Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, that's when I first saw his name. I was like, man, this is 100% some kind of a political ploy, because he's the one that's been, I guess the allyship with Bernie Sanders in the 2000, that's like one thing he threw out there. And we speculated like, oh, he's going with the populist thing. He's going to be running at some point. He wants to be on board with being with the American people. So now with Trump, he's got to play both sides of this, because he knows he can't just win with Republican support. He knows he's going to have to fool enough, I guess, Democrats or independent folks in the country to think, oh yeah, Josh Hawley, that young guy who has energy and actually did that one right thing. He wants one group to think he did the right thing for Trump and the other group think he did mm-hmm. the right thing for the American people, because he was on both sides of two different issues. But that doesn't make much sense when you're supporting the president who exacerbated this whole thing for the entire year, told everyone not to wear masks, ignored it from the beginning, and you support that guy. So now you can't be on board saying, how could we hold back so long on these $2,000 checks? Where were you in June? Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, but it doesn't matter. That's what you're saying. In years from now, we're not going to remember the timetable from when Josh Hawley spoke out. We're just remember those two moments and those two different issues. And I think they realize that's how we think.
Well, and we're also going to have to see, like, one thing, maybe he gets this, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. When trying to get Trump's support or Trump's base's support, is that to get Trump to like you, you have to give him your loyalty. You have to agree with whatever he says or whatever. But like, what they don't seem to get is that with most humans, doing that builds up some sort of credit. With Trump, that doesn't exist. He has, like, it's a goldfish theory of loyalty. Like, he only remembers the last 30 seconds. You can give him everything he wants. If someday he takes a step too far for you and you don't follow him, he will cast you aside and say that you're the biggest fake Republican ever. We saw that with Kemp. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Now, Hawley is 100% fake and a slimy politician. So maybe there's no line that Trump can cross that he won't follow. But like, you could put in all this work hoping that someday in 2 years, when you announce that you're going to run, you're going to be the guy out of the pack that Trump is going to support for president. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe flash forward to 2 years, he'll do that. But I don't think that Trump ever enjoys endorsing anyone if it's not for his own benefit.
Not at all.
For all we know, he's going to try to run, whether real or not. Maybe he'll fake run just to get some attention and torpedo Hawley because he doesn't care about him. Or he could just not endorse anyone because fundamentally he's a psychopath and he doesn't see any benefit in helping someone else out in a way that doesn't help him.
He openly said
this
it.
Could be a lot of wasted effort from Hawley.
Yeah, he openly said it at an event when he was supposed to be speaking out for Loeffler and Purdue. He goes, I don't like doing this. Yeah. They asked me to come and speak for someone. This is a lot of work. I don't like talking for anyone else. I don't like helping anyone. He said it all very openly right before they came up on stage. He goes, they asked me if I'd come, and I said, I mean, okay, but I don't really want to. Yeah. Like, this is the guy that other people in his party are supposed to believe he supports them enough to get them elected.
Yeah.
Like, have at it.
Yeah, trust that guy. Trust him. Anyway, let's turn to that. Let's because now we're sort of speculating that this is going to happen to him. But let's talk about one that it already has happened to. Donald Trump has been on a tear, in some ways trying to hurt a lot of different people. But he's turning his fire way more on Republicans recently than in the past. And we have two examples of that in Georgia to talk about. One is this tweet from just earlier today. Hearings from Atlanta on the Georgia election overturn now being broadcast. Check it out. And he tells people to go to OAN and Newsmax. So Fox News, suck it. Brian Kemp should resign from office. He's an obstructionist who refuses to admit that we won Georgia. Big. Also won the other swing states. I love the great state of Georgia, but the people who run it, from the governor, Brian Kemp, to the Secretary of State, are a complete disaster and don't have a clue, or worse. What's the worse? Do they just not have a clue, or is it worse? You told him he should resign. Should he resign because he doesn't have a clue? Or is it the worst? What's the worst? Is he a murderer? Is he a werewolf? Are you telling me he's a werewolf? I don't know.
I'm going to look up. What's worse than a clue? I'm going to look up. Keep going.
I don't know. Nobody can be this stupid. Well, I'm going to have to stop you there, buddy, because there's some stupid people. And I'm reading the tweet of one. But then he goes on to say, and this is amazing. Like, we have to talk about everything that I just said. But I'm going to read one more line. And I want you to pay attention to the context here, because this is from the President of the United States, as of right now at least, claiming that the election was stolen from him. It's obvious that it was stolen. They've proven that it's stolen. Okay? All of that is true and has been true for 2 months. And then he says, just allow us to find the crime. What are you talking about? You're saying that you've already found the crime and that you've proven that this thing was stolen in multiple different states. Now you're implying that he's being obstructionist because he won't let you get in there and find something to justify the stuff you've been saying. That's a crazy admission that not a single one of his fans will have any problem with.
It doesn't matter. It's always been the way. It's also give us a chance to find the crime. And then also, we have all this evidence in this book or in this binder, in this folder, and we're going to slap it on the table. You just wait. Now's not the time. Maybe tomorrow. I think maybe this weekend. But we're going to, now you have it in this big binder, in this folder. Now you need to find it again. How many times are we going to find this? How many times are you going to find it? I'm still looking for it.
I don't know. And also, hey, did you notice the thing that I sort of skipped over? And man, is that a sign of the times. The President of the United States just said that one of his own party's governors should resign from office. And everyone's like, eh. What? Like, imagine if Obama had told, I don't know, Cuomo or something. Like, yeah, no, he should really resign. He just said that casually. I don't think the media would just be like, oh, he's being a goof again. That's sort of a big thing, except it's not, because nothing is, because nothing matters anymore. But that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Serious as we take him, people still don't. It's become the norm. We go, this is serious. Okay, now, what's the weather today? It's the way it is. Mm-hmm. We've been desensitized to insane.
We have 100%. Here's some insane for you, because that last tweet I read you is a dot, dot, dot. It continues, the consent decree signed by the secretary. Is it the secretary or is it not? Are you implying that it's a fake secretary? I don't know. With the consent of Kemp, is perhaps even more poorly negotiated than the deal that John Kerry made with Iran, which has nothing to do with any of this. What a weird tangent, but we'll go on. Now it turns out that Brad R's brother works for China, and they definitely don't want Trump. So disgusting. Now notice that he put his own name in quotation marks, just like he put secretary. When he did it with secretary, he was implying that they're not actually the secretary. So are we supposed to believe that he doesn't think he's actually Trump? I don't know. But that's not the worst part of that tweet. The worst part of that tweet is that he is saying that Brad R's Raffensperger, so it's the Secretary of State of Georgia, that his brother works for China. You're going to be shocked to find out that that's not true at all. There's a conspiracy theory linking Georgia's Secretary of State to Ron Raffensperger and Chinese interference in the 2020 presidential election. That's been going around on insane wackadoo like right-wing media. But it's just a different person with the same last name. They're not related. And even if they were related, it doesn't have anything to do with the election. It's literally just another person. Like, yes, I'm John Iderola. There are other Iderolas. Now, I'm not related to all of them, and they don't have anything to do with TDR. But the President of the United States is citing this. It had already been debunked before he tweeted that. It's been nationally debunked even more now because the president said it. It's still up as a tweet as of right now.
The fact that this was debunked, and I assume on television enough for him to see, because he definitely doesn't read, it means he's even starting to be deficient on being able to watch enough TV to come up with his crazy crackpot theories. He can't even watch enough of it like he used to. He'd watch probably 8 to 10 to 12, 15 hours of TV a day. Now he's cut it down to like 7. So he's like, I'm not getting all the information I need to come up with the stupid opinions I keep coming up with. So even after it's debunked, he doesn't even get the memo yet because he's too busy working on 2 days ago news because he's been out golfing too much, even to keep up with his own conspiracy theories. I'm not sure. One thing, this guy... piecing together Ron Raffensperger with Brad Raffensperger and whoever else, because the names are the same. It's if you have like a puzzle piece, 1,000 puzzles, I hate puzzles. You have 1,000 puzzle piece and then it's flowers. He just grabs any flower and jams it in the section he wants it to be in because it's a flower, but it's a flower. Let's jam it in a section. He starts destroying his puzzle. This is probably the way the kid Donald Trump was. He's like, forget this puzzle and the way it's supposed to come together. Let me just slap it together and throw some glue on it and say, here it is.
The guy isn't related to him. And even if he did, it has nothing to do with anything. It's amazing. You know, like, I guess, I wonder what it's going to be like in a few months. Are all the things that have been normalized going to be denormalized? Is there going to be a version of it under Biden? I don't know. Like we didn't play the Trump, Where's the Beef campaign ad? Where he photoshopped in the Nobel Peace Prize that he doesn't have. Maybe it's too big. So if Cassie's watching, she's our graphics person. So she's really hot with Photoshop. So like if I put my hand here and we just put like a Tony, I don't have a Tony. That's not how it works. Just because you put the image over you doesn't mean that you actually have it.
Would you like to have
my Oscars?
Would you like to have a Tony?
I have not been recognized by the Academy.
Tony was the first thing that came to your mind. Are you a stage guy, John? Would you like to act? Maybe sing? I think you do.
You do not want that.
Oh, man.
Actually, I want I want a nebula. That'd be good. You probably don't know what a nebula is. Anyway. No, few do. In Twitch, I get a comment. That's what you'd go for? What's wrong with a Tony? It was a rare birthday. Like, sure, everybody's getting Oscars these days. Anyway, Broadway John. John does Hamilton. Great. Neolib John does Hamilton.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
trying to get everybody vaccinated as quick as possible, and the states have a lot of leeway to determine how that's going to work, both in terms of figuring out who is going to have first access to the vaccine, but also how the vaccine is going to physically be distributed. And we've seen in some parts of the country, it's been going very smooth. In other parts of the country, you have Florida. So on Sunday, in Lee County, Florida, their Department of Health sent out a press release. Hundreds of COVID-19 vaccines would be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis at various sites throughout the county. The first such distribution would begin at 2 p.m. on Monday. Vaccines would only be available to people 65 and older, but again, on a first-come, first-served basis. Hundreds of elderly people lined up at the vaccination site. Some of them arrived just 2 hours after the sites were announced. Many of these elderly vaccine seekers wrapped themselves in sleeping bags and blankets to endure chilly weather. On Sunday, the temperature in Estero dipped as low as 46 degrees and camped out hoping that they'd arrive soon enough to be vaccinated. So they announced it and they said, like it's UConn basketball tickets.
Yeah.
First come, first served. So you have a line of hundreds of incredibly old people lining up throughout the night to get vaccines. I defy you to come up with a worse way to distribute the vaccine than that.
Because they don't care. They don't care. It's again to say, hey, we've got vaccines. You guys know, make sure you put this on the headline of the news. We've got vaccines, vaccines, Florida vaccines. Hey, everybody, come get it. They have no idea how to plan something like this because they don't care about the people that have to go through whatever it is that they're putting them through. So if you have a plan to distribute vaccines to folks, you think, these are people. They got to get there. They have to know about it. It has to be organized. They have to know they got it. They have to feel safe in doing it. And by the way, there's still COVID around.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've even planned that part of it yet either. But so also, I'm not sure. I'll let you go through the details of the story, but the strain that this puts on everyone, not just the patients, but the people who have to administer this stuff is extraordinary. But that's just my first thought. Continue on, John. I know you got more.
Yeah, I do. First of all, I want to respond to a comment on YouTube that was like, oh, no, not 46 degrees. Okay, I get it. Yes, it is warmer in Florida than in other parts of the country. We're talking about elderly people. Like, imagine your grandpa and grandma hanging out overnight on the sidewalk in sleeping bags. I wouldn't do that right now. Like, get like the next iPad or whatever, the next Star Wars movie. I'm not camping out overnight. And I'm only relatively pathetic. We're talking about old people in a pandemic lined up with a bunch of other old people, many of whom have pre-existing conditions. It's not a good idea.
I understand the city of LA just announced national disaster because we had a day and a half of rain. I understand that we're soft, but I don't care if you're 35 years old. You don't want to sit out in the middle of 46 degree weather for 8 to 10 hours chilling. You will literally be chilling. It's just, it's uncomfortable for the human body. I don't care if you live in Alaska, sitting out in 46 degree weather and just jeans and a hoodie isn't cool. I'm just saying it isn't.
Exactly. No, it's not. Or it is cool, but in a bad way. Yeah. So a little bit more information. Between 300 and 600 people can be vaccinated over the course of a day at these sorts of pop-up vaccination sites. Meanwhile, Lee County has more than 770,000 residents, more than a quarter of them elderly. So that's sort of to put it in perspective. So hundreds of people getting vaccinated is great news for those hundreds of people. Creating a potential public health disaster to get a couple of hundred people vaccinated doesn't really seem worth it. I feel like there's a lot of experiments going on in a lot of different parts of the country. I think that most hospitals have phones, and I think these doctors should get on the phone and figure out some better way. I don't know if it has to be a lottery or if it has to be coordinated through, you know, like go through individual doctors and then pick at random from their patients of different ages. I don't know. But first come, first served is not the best idea. This ain't Comic-Con, okay? And, you know, Galfar, it's not the Eternals tickets, which I will probably camp out for. This is the vaccine.
Also, but the Black Friday feel of this, The whole thing about Black Friday, even in some commercials back in the day when they were promoting this as a fun day, it was about people running over each other. And then you see the fights in the stores over the Tickle Me Elmo. I remember that from 1999 or something, whenever that was out. People were fighting over toys and TVs and stuff. So what do you think that people will be willing to do when it comes to something that is deemed a life-saving vaccine in the middle of a pandemic? Where everyone's tired of sitting at home, when everyone's tired of worried if they're gonna get the virus. So all this, it's again, just that 5 seconds of thought, which I didn't think about till now as far as a Black Friday comparison, is the first thought you should have if you're actually trying to take care of your citizens, the people who pay you. Just not forget that part.
Look, yeah, I will say, if we're going to go in this direction, though, we should at least commit to it. So what you want to make sure is, because this is a limited resource, we can't give the vaccines to everybody. You want to make sure that the people who get them are going to be able to really use them and benefit from them. You don't want to give them to people who are going to be weak. So really commit to the Black Friday thing. First come, first served, but also no line. Just a big crowd. You open the door and people just stampede in, and the strong ones get to the vaccine. They can inject themselves at that point. It's a ridiculous system. Anyway, a little bit more general information about the pace of the vaccines. Some good news, some bad news. So, good news, the United States currently ranks fourth among all nations in per capita vaccine doses administered. That puts us behind some other countries, including the UK, but ahead of some countries like Germany and Japan that one might have expected, considering how they've done so much better in general on dealing with the pandemic, that they'd be ahead of us here. So we're doing pretty well in that respect in terms of the pace. So if we were to continue the way we're going right now by, you know, like making Florida's elderly line up overnight, it would take 10 years to vaccinate every American. That's not good enough. Now, it's not going to continue at this pace. You know, just as of this morning, my wife alerted me to the fact that the AstraZeneca vaccine was approved by the UK. You know, maybe that'll happen in the US soon. We're going to have more distribution of Moderna. The Pfizer vaccine is going to be produced at higher rates. So we're not going to proceed at the pace we're at. But if we were to, it would be an absolute disaster.
Yeah. Well, there's another part of it, too. Once these other vaccines get put out there, or at least approved and I guess distributed here, we got to make sure this is just like a thing I heard because it's obvious, but I think people would maybe miss this. People have to not mix them up either. Like if you start on the AstraZeneca, you can't go to the Moderna or vice versa. Yeah. So, you know, and who knows what, again, this is a part of the organization of it though, because there's supposed to be these two doses and the second one comes 3 weeks after. So even in that 3 week span, we got to make sure people are organized enough to go back for the correct one. Because maybe in that span, something changes, something gets reintroduced, and someone says, oh, yeah, you know what, this one, the next one's available, I'm going to go for that one. It doesn't really work that way. So
the doctor should hopefully be coordinating that return visit.
How much have we coordinated the primary visit, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, hopefully people are getting it, because, again, remember, the protection that you get from the first dose is not nearly as high as with the two. So we definitely need to make sure that people get that. The pace, not great. And, you know, I wanted to update you on, you know, what's it look like out there in the pandemic, because you know, we give you news about the vaccines, but I do not want to leave people with the impression that, oh, good, the pandemic's old news. It's last year's news. Right now, hospitals in L.A. County are treating COVID-19 patients in gift shops.
Jesus.
So I'm not a doctor or whatever, but I would imagine that's not a good sign, that when you have to clear out the Mars bars and the elephant stuffed animals and put COVID patients there, that's not a good sign. By the way, 94% of the hospitals in the county that receive patients in ambulances were apparently forced recently to divert some due to spacing issues, and some patients didn't leave ambulances for up to 8 hours so they could be treated inside the vehicle, which is understandable because when your only option is to put people in gift shops, the inside of an ambulance suddenly doesn't start to look that bad. But that's the state in LA County. Over was Christmas Eve, I think it was. Our county alone was losing one person to COVID every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So not well. So
for the people who think this, I know there's like the talkers that say it, that California is this bastion of libs that are huddled up in their homes and they're, you know, they're idiots following these COVID rules and they threw out their guns. None of that's true. None of that's true. There's a reason why there's this explosion. People have traveled. People walk around without masks. People wear their masks incorrectly. People think it's over. People go, already got it. California is just another state of Americans that think the way Americans think because we buy into it and we're tired of being at home. That's the way it works. So just this explosion in LA County, no one then goes, man, look at LA County. Those conservatives out there aren't following mask rules. No, it's people that don't follow mask rules. Just when you walk outside, just look around. There's tons of them, no matter where you are.
Yeah, you know, I have a park nearby. The compliance rate, not great. Sometimes you see people in them, but sometimes not. Like you would hope that in LA, we'd take it more seriously. Not necessarily. And, you know, like we're focusing a little bit here on LA, but if you look nationally, yesterday there were 3,283 deaths reported. And that's with holiday disruptions and delays and states not fully doing it. The numbers are still that high with bad data. We'll get filled in later, mm-hmm. but I can only imagine what the next few weeks after all of this Christmas travel, record levels of travel since the pandemic began, even after we already saw what happened with Thanksgiving travel. Like we had that, all the warnings, the cases start skyrocketing, and then a lot of people were like, no, no, I'm still going to do it. So we tried, but it's not looking great. Now that said, something else that's not looking great is Jim Jordan, so we're going to turn to that in 1 second. Oh, I did want to also let you know, I saw, if you are in the Twitch chat right now, SexyMellyB, a member of our community, has a GoFundMe going on to deal with her husband's upcoming surgery, so if you want to go to the chat, you can get details on that. That said, let's turn into our next story. We might not have it. Do we have it? I don't think we have it. That's okay. Hey, there we go. I want to shock people. I want to scare them with this guy's face. Jim Jordan, regularly one of the worst members of our elected government, had this to say about the ongoing attempts to limit the number needlessly dying during this pandemic. He tweeted, 60 million Americans are subject to a stay-at-home order or curfew. 11 million are right here in Ohio. What would the founders say? So, we're going to have a little bit of what the founders might have said. But first, can we just acknowledge, this is December 29th when he sent that. We're losing a 9/11 a day, okay? And the aid has been severely limited, thanks in no small part to a senator from his own party. And his contribution to the national dialogue about this is they're making people stay at home still, like 11 months into this pandemic or whatever. Like, we're way into this pandemic, and that is what Jim Jordan has to say.
You know what one of the founding fathers would say if they heard that we're staying in? They go, wow, what are these things moving around? What is that you're looking at? Why do you have this thing in your hand? Wow, would you guys wear clothes like that now? Man, look at the way you wear your hair. Oh my God, you guys live in buildings this big? That's what founding fathers would say if they found out what was going on right now.
Yeah, I think the founding fathers would have said, wait, who was the last president? Yeah, they were not that great necessarily. So let's stop just needlessly worshiping them. Huh? But here's what they might have said, because you know what they had back in the day? Now, yes, they didn't have AR-15s, they didn't have cars, they didn't have black presidents, but what they did have was infectious disease. And so critics responded to Jim Jordan by pointing out that the founders had, in fact, followed strict measures to stifle infectious disease outbreaks based on the science of their time. During the American Revolution, for instance, George Washington worked to contain a smallpox epidemic by isolating anyone suspected of infection and limiting outside contact with his army. In 1776, when the British withdrew from Boston, Washington mandated that only soldiers that had already been infected be allowed into the city. In 1796, in response to a deadly yellow fever outbreak, Congress passed the first federal quarantine law, which was signed by Washington. It authorized the federal government to help states enforce quarantines as necessary. So this isn't like, hey guys, could you like socially distance and maybe occasionally get tested or whatever? This is, if I think you might have been infected, I'm going to have the military stop you from traveling.
Those socialist bastards. They're just like Venezuela. They want to take over your life. They want to put you in the house. You know, those founding fathers, you know, their whole story was hidden from us somehow. We didn't know about this. First of all, I thought about this, and I was like, you know, I'm not a scholar on the founding fathers. I don't know everything each one of them did. But if I'm going to tweet about what the founding fathers would have said or done in a certain situation, and maybe I have an assumption of what they would have said or done, mm-hmm. I'm going to do a cursory search and go, well, maybe what they did say or do in a potentially similar situation. Because what I do know, and I don't know if this is hard to remember, there was lots of diseases that were spread back in the day easily and took out millions of people. Mm-hmm. It happened. So since we do know that did happen, it'd be a nice search before you tweet and go, how did they respond to it? Because what I would like to say, because I would think the founding fathers are on my side, if I was as dumb as Jim Jordan thought this, was, yeah, you know what the founding fathers said when the pandemic hit? I'd be able to say what they said and did, because I looked it up.
Are you implying that before making a political statement, you have some sort of obligation to try to answer your own question rather than just putting it out there needlessly? Are you implying that we should not all follow the Charlie Kirk school of tweeting? Ask a dumb question, receive a bunch of dumb responses, but it doesn't matter because you're getting paid by billionaires? Like, this is the thing. I'm a dumb lefty, and I grew up watching Star Trek. So for the entirety of my life, I've wanted people to be better and smarter. And I think it's great that on the internet, you have access to all this information. So you'd think I want people to ask questions, but I'm done with questions. Because questions are all too often just used to put off having to learn anything. Like, why is every question rhetorical? Like, what would the founders have said? Google it, you goon. Like, you could find out. It's not impossible. You don't have to go visit the Oracle. You could literally boot up Oracle. Isn't that a browser? You could find out for yourself if you wanted to. Why are people asking dumb... This is a small tangent. On Reddit, people ask the dumbest questions, man, that have been asked a million times. You can just search for it. It's quicker to search for the answer than to post the question yourself. Why does everyone act like they have no independent ability to gain knowledge? We all can do it, damn it.
Well, that's the thing. No. He's at least practicing what he preaches. He just definitely doesn't want people that follow him to gain any knowledge because then they'll understand how dumb he is and how much he purposely misguides them, honestly. I don't know exactly how dumb Jim Jordan is, but he's definitely playing the role for the sake of fooling other people to not thinking for themselves, or at least not looking up the most general basic information. Yeah. That's the power he's got, is making sure that people stay dumb and then follow him.
God, I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it. And you know what's even worse? On top of all that, this weird pet peeve is, it's that the most gullible, stupidest people in our country, which I will define as the people who believe QAnon, which is, in the most recent poll, 17% say they believe it, 37% say they're not sure. So there are more of them than there are of us, so bear that in mind. It's that they're not just satisfied with believing crazy things. At the same time, they have to claim that they're the ones who are actually critically thinking. They're the ones who are actually doing their own research. They're the ones who are asking the tough questions. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're doing some dark mirror universe version of gaining knowledge. They're the only people that can do research and get dumber. It's an exact one-to-one ratio. The more words they read, the crazier they get. I think Cthulhu exists. I think his cult believes in Q. Anyway, Cthulhu. Let's get that drawn. New update in the Breonna Taylor case. We're having a couple of those involved in the fatal shooting losing their jobs. Hey, the closest we'll probably ever get to justice. The Louisville police officer who fired the shot that killed Breonna Taylor, a black emergency room technician whose death set off a wave of protests on American streets, was told on Tuesday that the department was moving to oust him from the force, as was a second officer who obtained a judge's approval for the poorly planned nighttime raid on her home. The terminations mark an effort by the city's interim police chief, Yvette Gentry, to achieve the reckoning she promised when she came out of retirement to lead the troubled department at the beginning of the new year. So we have these two individuals, one involved in the actual shooting, one who sort of set up the incident, who is actually going to be fired. They had been on sort of administrative suspension for an extended period of time. They've avoided any sort of legal reckoning. The only individual who suffered real legal problems was because they shot into another apartment as well, which seems like the ultimate insult in this case. But JR, two firings, how big of a celebration should we have?
Well, two firings, but then what happens next with them? Which, by the way,
what do you think?
Yeah, well, get hired somewhere else. So, which happens a lot with officers that get fired for in particular police department, end up somewhere else. It happens all over the country. It happens in liberal bastions. It happens in conservative communities. It always happens that way because, you know, they go, I'm a police officer. What do you want me to do? It's my job. It's my livelihood. It's what I do. So they move on to the next one and continue on as if nothing followed them from their previous job, like murdering someone and also setting up that murder with a falsified search warrant. So if you have all these issues with your previous employment, why should you get hired at the next place? I've said this before. If you're caught stealing from a grocery store that you worked at because you're a clerk and you decide to slip a couple of the Mentos or even steal a bottle of alcohol and walk out and you get caught and fired for it, I guarantee you the next store is going to maybe look at that if they have any background on you and go, well, you were fired from stealing at your previous retail job? I don't know if I want you working here.
Yeah.
But cops, if you're busted and fired and somehow not convicted for murdering a citizen unlawfully and setting up that murder unlawfully, you move on to the next job. It happens all the time. So until there's some kind of thing that stops them from moving on to the next job to continue their unlawful activities under the guise of being law enforcement officials, this is nothing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess in theory, if they get new jobs, this is a big enough, a high-profile enough case that perhaps we'll know about it. But if they just get hired down the road, I don't know why. Like, arguably, they could end up in a better position or something like that. And considering the police culture, like, God only knows, they're probably going to be considered heroes for having been involved in that case. And it's a really weird thing where there's, like, two different sorts of jobs. There are jobs that are just jobs, and then there are career fields where there's this weird, generally undeserved brotherhood between the members of it, where, like, you can't do any wrong. No matter how bad you are, they'll always stick up for you. Like, cops are the ultimate version. You've got priests who just get shuffled to a different area after they molest someone. And then, honestly, let's keep it real. Whatever this job is, like, you can say the stupidest stuff, support the worst policies, get every prediction wrong, and CNN will hire you or whatever later on. Like, it doesn't matter. There's no penalty for being 100% boneheaded.
Oh,
all the people who were supporting the war in Iraq are doing just fine in terms of their media careers. But at least they didn't kill anyone, not directly. They did advocate for it, though. So I guess this is the justice that we have. Maybe there will be other firings. I suppose if they were going to do it, they'd probably do them simultaneously, considering the wave of news coverage that any of these firings are going to have. But as of right now, you have a couple of firings. You had one person who sort of, for a semi-related charge, got a little bit of a slap on the wrist, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and by the way, so anyone who may be feeling empathetic towards them, oh man, they lost their jobs, or even if they went to from my route where they can never work in law enforcement again in any capacity, not even as a security guard, then if you feel sorry for them, again, I'm not sure which percentage of the people this may be, but I figure it must be this is maybe the way they play it up. You're a law enforcement official, now you don't get to work, what am I going to do with my life? Hey, the person you killed's life is over. Yeah. What is she going to do with her life? What is her family going to do with their lives? What's going to happen now? Because we start thinking about the people who killed her and their potential for continuing on and living a comfortable life. And what about the victims and the victims' families and friends? What about them? Do they get to be comfortable? No, we just don't really care because that's over. This is a PR move now. We got to clear this up so that we can move on. Who cares if anyone else moves on?
Exactly. Yeah. It's insane. Okay, let's move on to our next story. A couple more things I want to make sure we're running low on time, and a few more bits of news I want to make sure that we get to. I want to show you a video that's gone viral recently out of New York City, where a woman has falsely accused and sort of physically accosted a child who she believed had stolen her phone. It was being recorded at the time. Here is that video.
Show me. No,
you don't have to explain nothing to her.
Take the case off. That's mine. Literally, give it back, please.
Are you kidding me? You feel like there's only one iPhone made in the world?
No. Okay, then show me the.
No,
show me all my
you get a life
over there. No, what's on your background?
You better go use find my iPhone. Go do that.
Find my iPhone is on. You can't on come that right
in.
Now.
No, you can't. No.
I'm the manager of the hotel.
I don't care.
He will.
This is
right
my
now.
Son.
Hey,
didn't you see me just come downstairs?
I'm trying to help. Man.
No, but you're not helping.
I
what
am.
You've been is disrespectful.
No, I'm trying to settle the situation.
My son has nothing to do with her.
No.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Then show me the proof. No, he's not leaving. Show me the proof.
Hey, are you kidding me? You better get on.
I need you away.
Let's go, kid.
Okay?
I need you away. I'm sorry.
Better get on. We have what you see? You see two black people?
No, I'm not letting him walk away with my phone.
Wait.
No, please get my phone back. I cannot
have
my phone.
Absolute madness. You'll be shocked to find out that it was not her phone, that it was his phone, and the father, Keon Harold, was correct in asserting that there's more than one iPhone in the world, even more than one iPhone owned by a guest at the boutique hotel that they were staying at that point. But that woman was so sure that had to be hers that she wouldn't talk it through. She just baselessly accused this 14-year-old and then tried to rush at him and ended up on the ground as a result of it.
Yeah. So you mentioned that she found it somewhere else. It wasn't that obviously wasn't.
So she eventually found out that she had left it in an Uber.
Yeah. Because, you know, the first thought, anytime I've ever left my phone, I've lost maybe two phones in my life. One time I was jogging across the street and it popped out of my pocket and I had no idea. And that's what happened. So imagine you lose your phone in whatever way people lose their phones. And then you go and find the first person you see and go, you must have it. The first thought you're supposed to have is, where did I drop it? What did I just do last? Why is it right away that someone just stole your phone? Mm-hmm. Maybe because the person that you saw in front of you. And you consider, well, that has to be it because there's no way this is any negligence on my part. Mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and make this situation worse. Or even if you think someone did steal it, you got to check yourself first. I don't understand how this even works this way. Or even if you think you can detain someone based off of your flawed reasoning and hold them there and search their pockets, which, by the way, real fast, John, this lady who's still unidentified did talk to CNN. Did you hear about this?
I saw that she had been identified by the police. Like, we don't know who it is, but that she's being looked into because she's like, she's effectively trying to steal this kid's phone. Like, mm-hmm. she's rushing at him on camera to take his phone and take it away from him, which you can't actually do. Like, in the midst of baselessly claiming that he had committed a crime, she's trying her best to commit a crime. But no, what happened on CNN?
Well, she said, well, CNN said, exclusive interview. She talked to us for 20 minutes, still wants to be remain anonymous because she's concerned about her safety and all that.
Good
so,
call.
Yeah, right. But she said she was assaulted in that altercation, that she's actually a good person. She checks herself. This is the one quote. When they asked if she's concerned about facing charges because she could face charges, as you pointed out. And she goes, of course I worry. That's not who I am. I actually try very hard to make sure that I'm always doing the right thing. What does that mean? Did you try very hard to make sure you're doing the right thing during that tirade that you had, during that attack and this aggressive moment you had? Is that you doing the right thing now? Well, and if you normally did it before, you lost your head. But now she's too busy telling people. Now she was assaulted during that altercation. And I was just trying to do the right thing. Was it? Because you could potentially face charges. So mm-hmm. what I'm seeing is there's not much of a learned experience here. If you do that, you don't have a chance to go and look at yourself and go, why did I do that? Why did I focus on him? And when have I done this in the past?
Yeah.
Who am I? No, you just have to absolve yourself of all of these issues that you probably have internally and say, I'm a good person. I try my best. Well, you're not trying hard enough because you definitely effed up here.
Yeah, everybody thinks that they're trying their best. Nobody thinks, I'm a villain. I'm evil. No Karen ends with just sitting down saying, I'm a good racist. Nobody says that. They all believe they're a good person. They're trying their hard, whatever. But you were in a situation, I'll even say a high-stress situation, although it's a high-stress situation entirely of your own making, and this is how you acted. This is how you acted, by the way, when you knew that you were being filmed. And I think at least, like, it might be inconvenient for somebody to be filming you while you're having a breakdown, but you also know that it's there, so you could potentially dial it back a bit. What happened is you lost your phone, and even though you're in this, like, incredibly upscale boutique hotel and all that, you saw the first black person with a phone and you pointed out and said that that's got to be your phone because they had a phone, even though it's literally the best-selling phone in the country. You could walk down a New York street and like 30 to 50% of the people on the street probably have that same model of phone. And you believe that he stole the phone, is walking around with it in his hand, and had a spare different case to put it on. The fact that it had another case didn't even cause her to pump the brakes a little bit. Because she wanted a quick, easy solution to her problems. And whether she, in a regular, non-stressful time, thinks of herself as a person who is prejudiced, she thought, it's got to be that black teenager right there. He's here, and he has a phone, so clearly that's the answer to all my questions. Doesn't mean that this is the only thing she's ever done or thought in her life, but when the chips were down and she put them down, this is what she did.
Yeah, we definitely don't allow any room for self-reflection with any of us here. So there's no chance for her to realize who she is and where she harbors some thoughts that I don't think she realizes she has, or maybe she doesn't realize she has. I'm sure if anyone talks to her for long enough, other folks can probably recognize those issues within her. But she can't, because you have to say, I'm a good person. No, I've always done the right thing. No, that's what I do. Well, maybe it's not. Yeah. Very easy rebuttal. You just didn't.
And this isn't like we've been through an entire year of videos like this. Like, do you get that, like, at some point it could be you? Like, you're watching this. Okay, you're probably not going to be in a viral video if you're watching this. But maybe, what's going to happen when it's you? Are you just going to, like, just go on autopilot? Are you going to think about all that's been going on and what we've learned about the way people act and their assumptions and their over-policing of black behavior and all of that? It's very easy to, like, just think about that when you're sitting here and think, I know what's going on and I'm a good person. But what about, like, when your, like, blood gets hot? A representative-elect has passed away from COVID. This is Luke Letlow, a Republican who was elected to the House of Representatives this month to represent Louisiana's 5th Congressional District, died just last evening of complications from COVID-19. He was 41, just 41 years old. He did not have any underlying conditions that would have increased his chance of dying from COVID-19. And yet he passed because, as we have said for a very long time, it is not just older people and it's not just people with pre-existing conditions. If you are in your 40s, if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 20s, you might have a lower chance of dying, but many people in those groups have died. And now, for the first time, according to Ballotpedia at least, the first elected federal official to die from coronavirus has passed just last night.
It's one of those things where we keep hearing about all these elected officials that flouted the rules or disregarded them and told everyone else to do the same, get sick, and then it's become such a norm that they get over it, that now the shocker is not that they're getting COVID. The shocker is that they pass away of it. So I don't know if this continues down the same route. By the way, and the reason why a lot of people were thinking this, even when Trump got it, was like, well, maybe they'll start taking it seriously now. But we've yet to see that happen. And then after Herman Cain died and they used him and his Twitter and his existence to continue to push their political agendas, I was thinking, man, you know, Herman Cain was an elected official. He's a black guy. So they probably don't care that much. And if they just disregard it, move along, most of the party will move along with them because they never cared about him in the first place. But this is an elected official, just got in. Everyone in their side of the party liked him. He was this young guy going to take over for his former boss.
Yeah.
And this happens. So where's the acknowledgement of what you've been doing wrong? This is, I always said, things start hitting closer to home. People start acknowledging it more and more. I still haven't seen it. Kevin McCarthy tweeted about it and said thoughts and prayers. And then told everyone that he passed away and we feel sad about it. What did he pass away of, Kevin?
Yeah.
Just 41-year-old guy. He went to sleep one night. And didn't wake up. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. So they're still using this as a political, still approaching this in a political manner to make sure that there's no accountability, that there's no one remembers what they did and said about this, and that the results of this aren't based off of what they've done wrong. And then if anybody else says any different, like, hey, this guy flouted the rules, told everyone else to stop, and he caught it and died, we're the mean ones. It's 2 + 2 = 4. But if someone says, hey, you just added those two numbers together and you came up with 4, you're the mean guy, not the one who said 2 + 2 = 3. That's not the guy.
Well,
I don't know how many more times we'll see it.
More. I mean, there's, you know, just yesterday on the show, we talked about some county Republican official who he's been hospitalized for it, is alive, and is telling people to take it seriously. He says he wishes he had listened to his own family and hadn't gone to a White House Hanukkah party. So for some people, it hitting very close to home can cause them to start to advocate for what we've been saying the entire time. Kevin McCarthy's not really acknowledging the actual issue. But then you go to like Trump, Republican president. They just lost a Republican congressman-elect. As far as I've seen, at least as of recording this, he hasn't even acknowledged that it happened. At least a lot of people are. And lots of people are saying, you know, he's just at the beginning of his career, has a lovely family. Everybody's saying he's awesome, which is obviously totally true. We don't want anyone to get hurt. They're at least acknowledging it. Like with Herman Cain, they barely even talked about it. He had been a presidential candidate, like was like a very high profile Republican, and they ignored it. And we can talk about why they acknowledge this and not that. And it's obviously there's some racial components to that, clearly. With this individual, look, it's a tragedy. Like, I can't even imagine his kids are going to grow up now without a dad because of this, yep. Because of this horrible, horrible pandemic that didn't need to be nearly as bad. And you know, out of curiosity, went back and he had said about, you know, how great Trump's leadership was back in April and everything like that. And I know that people are sharing like video of him from earlier this month at parties without masks. he has at some points talked about how we need to socially distance and everything. So he doesn't seem like some of the Republicans in terms of basically saying the entire thing is a hoax and all of that. But a lot of Republicans believe that this thing that has now taken one of their congresspeople from them is either entirely fake or is at least being exaggerated. And if it exists, it was made up by the Chinese. Like,
so
they've got this huge problem and they're literally losing their members to it.
Where's the motivation? What would be the motivation for this hoax to continue? That this newly elected congressman who's about to start his political career in Congress now, is probably happy about it, would, I don't know, fake it, allow his family to fake it. Maybe he caught something else and we just need to continue. What is his motivations? Did he want to die? Did he not want to actually, did he run for office and go, you know, I'm going to run for office and I'm going to die right before I start serving. That'd be a great way to live my life. Yeah, no, these things happen because of the way you carry yourself and go through life. But they still can't even admit that, because think about what that may hurt. It hurts their standing and it hurts their political hold on office. That's all it does. It's too political to tell the truth right now, because that would make them look bad. Their colleague's life, acknowledging it, would make them look bad. We'll talk about this party that's focused on life, the pro-life party, the party that says we want everyone to have a chance and opportunity to get the American dream. When one of your colleagues, your buddies, that would agree with all of your bad policies, by the way, not because he was great on policy, the guy who agrees with all your bad policies dies, and you don't acknowledge what you've done to contribute to that, because it wouldn't do you very good. Just that every Republican and every Republican official and politician out there, think about it that way. If you die, this is the way they're going to treat you. Thoughts and prayers, and not mention what happened to you.
Yeah, can't even imagine. Yeah, like we've been saying from the very beginning, again, we'll never get through to a single right winger. But I've been saying from the very beginning, like, yeah, I get it. I'm on the left, so I'm a massive liar, I'm immoral, whatever. But I care more about your life than the people who, like, you trust so much. Like, Tucker Carlson doesn't care if you live or die. I care more about right-wingers than Tucker Carlson. He doesn't give a damn if they live or die. Republican House leadership, and Trump especially, they do not care. They produce this situation. They produce a situation that kills their politicians. And their base still trusts them more than us, who tried to produce a situation where he would still be alive. He would be heading into Congress right now.
You know why?
Okay, that ended on a down note.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably have a Republican still get this seat. So that's definitely the only thing they care about.
Yeah. Tragedy. Feel terrible for his family. Well, JR, thank you for joining me for this last JR Wednesday of the year. I'm going to make a prediction. Next year will be at least a little bit better, I think. I think it'll be a little bit better. You know what? Maybe, if we play our cards right, we will do this show sitting in the same room as each other.
I just had this conversation. My prediction of that is around fall.
No, get out of here. Summer. we used to, right? Like, it's hard to remember now, but like, we used to both go into the studio on Wednesdays and we'd be at the same table, right?
Yeah. Am I wrong? I think.
I don't know anymore.
Maybe plexiglass up.
Seems crazy. Anyway, JR, as always, thank you. Have a good
thank one. You. It was good. We'll see you guys next year. Happy New Year. Do next not year. Go out and celebrate. Sit at home and get drunk. Yeah. See you later.
Exactly. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.